Well, today I am so excited about sharing the message this morning. Last week we started a new topic and a new series as we just simply called the vision. We simply called the vision. And at the first of the year, the last series, I talked about present directional vision, and I gave you some short-term vision that we're doing this year, things we want to do here at the church. But this becomes out of a statement more of a vision statement. Many churches have a vision statement, or you've heard of a purpose statement or a mission statement. The three kind of as a church kind of go intertwined. You can just kind of replace the words. They kind of all three mean about the same thing. And so we're talking about the vision statement of our church. What is the vision of our church to see? And I believe that every one of us here should be able to say the vision of our church. Destiny Church exists to teach people what? First of all, we exist to what? To teach people to passionately love God. We talked about this, and we're talking about it today. To passionately love God. We want you to fall in love with God more than you ever have before. We want you to fall in love with God. Our goal at Destiny Church, the vision is that everyone here would be so in love with God that you would realize that He has such a deep calling for a relationship with you. That He longs to walk with you. He's not a God of theology. He's not a God who just longs to be set aside for Sunday only. He's not a God who we keep hidden away in the temple because He's not there. But He's a God who, He says, I long to dwell in your life. I long to have a personal relationship with you. I long to walk with you. He longs to talk with you. He longs to communicate with you. He longs to reveal who He is in our life. And so we want to grow passionately in love with God. I pray that when we worship the Lord, as we did this morning, that your heart is full of passion, saying, God, I want to sing songs of love to you. I want to sing songs of worship to you because you died for me. When nobody else would forgive me, God, you died for me. When nobody else was willing to forgive me, God, you forgave me. And it's such an awesome testimony today. And today we come in and say, God, we love you, and Lord, we want to worship you. And we pray today that your hearts are full of passion, and that you continue to pray that prayer. God, allow my passion for you to build. I gave you some great examples last week, some ways to do that. If you didn't catch that message last week, you can go online at mydestinychurch.com, and you can get those sermons for free right there. You can download those down on the internet and listen to those on your iPod or your MP3 player, whatever you'd like to do. You can sign up. Matter of fact, you can go there and sign up to automatically have those downloaded to your iTunes account or whatever. We're on iTunes or on the World Wide Web, iTunes. So you can just sign up and those can automatically download it to your internet or to your computer or to your iPod. And so make sure today, if you missed it, to go back and get that. Today we're going to pick it back up, and we're talking about passionately love God. What's the rest of our statement? As to what? To genuinely love people. We want people to passionately love God. We want to have a genuine love for people. And then we need to teach others to do the same. To teach others to do the same. And this first part of this is founded in our scripture, in our text, in Matthew 22, 37 and 38. And where Jesus said to him, he was asked, what's the greatest thing we can do? And he says, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so taking that in consideration that Jesus said this, this is the most important thing you can do, is to love God passionately, to love Him with everything you are. Why did He say that? Because if we would get to the point in our Christian walk where we love God passionately, everything else will fall on the line. All the do's and the don'ts, those things will all come into alignment when I have a passionate love for God. When I am passionately in love with Him, I will want to do what pleases the Lord. I will be quick to listen to the correction from the Holy Spirit. My heart will line up. My spirit will line up where it needs to be when I keep the main thing the main thing. I don't have to get up this morning and tell you, you can't do this and don't do that. No, you love God with all your heart, and I guarantee you can't help but change. You can't help but change because the more you see His love for you, the more you see how selfish we really are. And we begin to take that selfishness and say, God, I'm a selfish person. I'm a very selfish person. And as I fall in love with God, I realize that my selfishness doesn't please Him. And I begin to become more unselfish. And I begin to lay down things in my life. And so this is such an important thing because I believe in my heart, if we will fall in love with God, that the other things will begin to come into alignment into our life. All right? the rest of it has to do with the next things we'll talk about over the next few weeks. But today, we're going to keep on this thought of falling in love with God, passionately loving Him. And I want to talk to you about developing a love for God's Word today. Developing a love for God's Word. How many today could say, Pastor, I could use a little more wisdom in my life? Anybody can say that? Lift your hand up. You say, that's me. I could use a little more wisdom. All right, the rest of you, you need more wisdom because you didn't raise your hand. So yeah, here you go, okay? We all need wisdom, don't we? We all need more wisdom in our life. There's not enough wisdom. We need more wisdom in our life. And today, as we are learning that in James 1 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, we're to ask of God. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God who gives to all generously. God will give us wisdom if we'll ask. God will teach us wisdom if we will ask. There's a wisdom that He's wanting to do and to give to us. So the good news is this, that the wisdom is available. The bad news is this, you don't got it yet. I don't have it yet. That we don't have all the wisdom we need. That we all need wisdom. As you saw by the hands here, we all need wisdom. And that you don't have the wisdom yet to handle some of the things that are going to happen in your life. When you get married, husbands, when you get married, you don't have the wisdom it's going to take to make it a successful marriage, do you? You garner that along the way. You learn through hard knocks, and you learn through trial and error. And you learn through, you know, you should know how I feel, and I didn't know how you feel. You learn how to read your mind. It's just a supernatural thing. You know, we don't learn how to read our spouse's mind. A marriage is something that you garner wisdom as you grow in that marriage. You garner wisdom as you go on how to interact with a spouse, how to treat your spouse, how to communicate with your spouse. These are things that we garner along the way. We didn't step into marriage experts, did we? Any of you step into marriage as marriage experts? It's kind of like the person who said this, that everybody's an expert on how to raise kids until you have kids. I was a youth pastor for many years, and man, I taught the hundreds and even thousands of kids over the years, have taught and trained, and, you know, felt like I had a lot of wisdom on how to deal with teenagers until I had one. And man, it's a whole different ballpark when it's yours and you're going through it. And so today, we garner the wisdom as we go along in life. And the same thing happens in our own life spiritually, that there's wisdom that is available that God is wanting us to garner along the way. James 3 talks about wisdom. James 3 says that there is a demonic wisdom. He says there's a demonic earthly wisdom that comes from below. And there's a wisdom that can come through demonic influence. There's a wisdom that can come from earthly wisdom. This is not the way you want to receive your wisdom. But he says there also is a wisdom that is from above. First pure, then peaceable, then gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, full of good fruits. There is a wisdom that comes from two ways of life. And the first one you don't want to gain your wisdom from. You don't want to gain your wisdom through the demonic earthly influence. But it happens. You're going to gain some wisdom through some stupid mistakes that you make. Just the bottom line is you're going to make some mistakes. And that tells us, how do we gain this wisdom? Well, first of all, God will teach us through one of two teachers. God will teach us through one of two teachers. First of all, He will teach us through personal experience. God will teach us through personal experience. When we are little, isn't it? I think every boy here today, I don't care how old you are, if you're a man in your 80s or if you're just fresh young here today, when the time we are born, not too long after the time we're born, we start walking, we all dream of flying, don't we? I mean, if you think, if I could have one wish, man, I wish I could fly. I just wish I could fly. And we're not talking about an airplane here. We're talking about really flying, okay? The cape popping in the wind. If it's a time we're a little kid, we dream of flying. I had that dream, just like many guys did. And I believed I could fly. I really did. I thought, man, I've watched the cartoons. I know it works. And so I remember going to the top of my house and taking out the biggest umbrella my mom had. Because in the cartoons, it always works. The umbrellas just sail across there. And I jumped off because I wanted to fly. I even had my cape on, man. It was red towel. And me and Superman were like that. And I was going to fly, and I had that umbrella, and I jumped off to fly, and I was like, up and away. And I jumped out like this and went, you know, and I fell down. And thank God we only had a one-story house. I remember laying there going, I can't. My friend's like, you okay? I'm like, I can't breathe. You know? Knocked all the wind out of me, man. I was seeing stars. I was like, that was the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. And my friend was there, and he was going to be next. And I looked at him. I was like, dude, you do not want to try that. That was stupid. It doesn't work. You're going to have to get a much bigger umbrella if it's going to work. You know, we're going to have to go back to the drawing board. And so he can learn from my wisdom. He can learn that jumping off the house with an umbrella is going to hurt. He didn't have to jump off the house to figure that out because he learned from me that that hurts. It's going to knock the breath out of you. You're lucky to get up, you know. I probably did a lot of brain damage then. That's why I am the way I am. And so we can learn from other people through personal experience. Look what Psalms 119 says. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Now listen, you're going to learn from being afflicted. You're going to learn from your pain. That's a part of life. We're going to learn. We're going to gain wisdom from our pain. But let me tell you this. That is not the way you want to live your life of getting the only wisdom you get is through pain. Because if you only get wisdom through pain, you're not going to have enough wisdom in your lifetime. You only get it because it hurts, and you learn from that mistake, and you gain some wisdom there. But you'll never have enough bones in your body. You'll never have enough of your heart left. You'll never have enough emotions to get through enough pain to get all the wisdom that you need to make it in life. There's more wisdom than pain is available. That you cannot take so much. And so, yes, you can gain from pain. But you don't want to gain all of your wisdom that way. You need to be able to garner wisdom from another way. So what's the other way? The second way we gain wisdom is through other people's experiences. Through other people's experiences. It's much better to learn wisdom from other people's experiences than it is to run and jump off the house on your own and realize that was stupid. Today, if I say we want to get to the parking lot, church is out, and Carlos takes off and says, I'm going to run the shortest way there. I'm going to run through this wall, man, and get to the parking lot. And he takes off, and he's strong, and he's big. And he takes off, and he runs to that wall and hits that wall and falls down and goes, oh, that was stupid. I shouldn't have ran into the wall. I should have just took a little more time and scooted over and ran through the door, what's already there. And Carlos can get up and say, listen, Mike, don't run this way to get outside to the parking lot. Because if you do, you're going to run into a wall and it's going to hurt. Just go around it this way and take the doorway to get to the parking lot. Yes, it's not quite the fastest distance from A to B. You got to take a little detour to get over to there. But you know what? It's well worth it. It's going to save you a lot of pain. See, I can learn from other people's experience. And this is what the question I have for you today. If you've ever learned pain, if you've ever had a painful experience in your life that taught you a lesson, can you raise your hand and say, Pastor, through painful situation, I've learned a lesson in my life. I've gained wisdom. Keep it high. If you've ever gained wisdom, all right, now keep them high up there, okay? Now, if I come in today and I say, all right, I want to gain wisdom, I'm going to take it from you, 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 from you. I'm going to go here and take some of your wisdom too and put it here, listen to it. Yeah, take all this, all right? Now I've got all this wisdom, and what happens? You put your hands down. Now what happens? I become wise beyond my years. I didn't have to go through a lot of heartache. I don't have to run into the wall 10 times to figure out that's not the way to go. That way is going to lead to pain. That way is going to lead to a path of destruction. I can take your wisdom that you gained through your pain, and I can grow from it. Now, isn't that valuable that way? Isn't that a lot more valuable? That's a lot easier way for me to gain wisdom if I can take it from you and take your life lesson and put it in my heart. And we could take all these life lessons and write them in a book, and we could all take them and make a library of books. How much would you pay for that book? How much would you take? We could all put our life lessons and say, don't do this. It will save you a lot of heartache in your life. How much would you pay for that book? Man, it would be invaluable to you. It would be so valuable. You pay a $500, would you pay $1,000? Would you pay $2,000 for a book that could give you life full of lessons that you could learn to avoid things? Yes, that would be a priceless book to you. Well, the good news is this. We had this book, and it's called the Bible. Biblios is where we get the word Bible. Biblios means bibliography. It's stories written, accounts written by men and women who have left us stories of wisdom, of the do's and the don'ts. It's unedited with some raw accounts in there. And listen, today, you don't want to go through your life with consequences that will cost you more than you want to give. You don't want to go and lose your family because of this consequence. I can go and learn from somebody else who's lost his family and say, you know what, I don't want to act this way because I'll lose my family. I can learn from that person. Because what I have for you is by the time you garner the wisdom you need, you paid the price you didn't want to pay. And so our hope is this, that we will get the wisdom ahead of time, that we don't have to make some of the same mistakes of others who made before us, that I can gain wisdom from you and you can gain wisdom from me, but more importantly, we can gain wisdom from the Word of God, because God has left us His Bible, this biography of lessons of people who have been taught of God, who have gone through struggles, who have blown it through life struggles. Some have succeeded and others have been, they've failed miserable. And they teach us lessons along the way. And if I will take the Word of God and allow that biography to come alive in my heart, I can take those life lessons. I can take a lesson from Moses on how to deal with grumpy people. I can talk and listen for lessons from Samson on how to deal away with the wrong kind of woman. All right. I can deal with Job on how to handle affliction. I can go through David and talk about how to live your life as though you're numbering your days. I can go through the Bible and I can see time and time again people. I can see situations that are going through and I can learn from the biography of people in this book that God has left to instruct me with. And so as I fall in love with the Word of God, I am falling in love with wisdom. I'm falling in love with wisdom because I want wisdom. I don't want to make the same mistakes my dad made. I don't want to make the same mistakes his dad made. I don't want to make the same mistakes a friend of mine made. I don't want to make the same mistakes as someone else made before me. I want to learn ahead of time that if I act this way, if I do this way, that I don't that I will have consequences that I do not want to pay. It will cost me a price I don't want to pay. So I can learn through the wisdom of God's Word. And I can take 66 books and just put it in my heart, and I can learn. I can learn the wisdom of the ages. I can learn the wisdom that God intended for us to have. I can learn the wisdom. And that's what God's Word is, that He wants to give us wisdom and direction in our life so that we can fill out our life full of wisdom and not make the same mistakes as others around us. Look what Psalms 119, 99 and 100 says. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditations. I understand more than the aged because I observed your precepts. What was he saying here? He's saying, man, I'm smarter than my teachers. Now, I've heard that statement a lot, and usually it's not true. But if you can garner the wisdom from the ages, you become like that. When you can garner the wisdom from the ages, you become a person who's wise beyond their age. I've had people tell me that before. Pastor, wow, you're young and yeah, you got some wisdom, because I've learned to take some things through counseling over the years. I've learned to take some things from other people. I say, that's not the way to do it. There's a different way to do this thing, because this way doesn't work. And I get around people who are doing things the right way. I say, that's the way to do it. I want to take that wisdom. I want to put it in my heart. I want to take that wisdom. I want to learn. I can learn that if I neglect my wife, that we're going to have a bad relationship and we're going to have some problems. I learned if I spend all my time at the office working and I spend all my time doing other things and I don't spend time with my children, that one day I'm going to want to have a relationship with my children and it's not going to be there because I didn't garner it at an early age. I didn't develop it at an early age. I've learned from wisdom of others who said I worked all the time trying to give my kids everything, but yet that wasn't what they wanted. They wanted my attention. They wanted my time. They wanted me more than anything else. So I can learn from that and say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be a pastor. I can look at other pastors who have overworked themselves and who stressed out. And before too long, they were burned out in ministry and they're ready to quit ministry. One out of three pastors will quit ministry very soon over the next 2 years. It's just, it happens. It's such a big turnover in pastors' lives because of the stress load that they carry so many times in their life. And I can look at that and say, you know what? I'm not going to burn out as a pastor. I'm going to keep myself in check. If I need to take off, I'm going to take off. If I need to spend time with my family, that's what's going to come first. My children and my family are going to come first. If you don't like that, you better find another pastor. Because that's the way it is. My family and children are going to come first. That's the way it is. That's the way it should be in your life. Your family and children should come first. Your personal relationship with God should come first. And so I've got to learn from others and say this, that I've got to learn that to garner wisdom from other people. I don't want to lose my family and pay that price and say, I wish I'd have done it different. I can look at those who have and say, I'm going to take that wisdom and I'm not going to make the same mistake. And I become wise beyond my years. And same thing with the Word of God. I'm taking this wisdom. And so how do we do this? How do we do this? It's a thing that we have to observe in our life. And some of us say, Pastor, that's a good thing about reading God's Word, but I just don't have time in my life to read God's Word. I just don't have time. I'm so busy. I can never fit it in my schedule. And I say this, you will always find time for the things you love. You will always find time for the things you love. I mean, how many of us guys were working and you're so burned out and, you know, your wife wants you to do something around the house like, honey, I am just so stressed. I've had such a hard week. Please, just let me wait. You know, I don't want to do it today. I have no energy to do nothing. I'm just going to sit around the house today. I just got to get my legs back and my mind back, renewed and refreshed. I don't have energy to do anything. And the phone rings. Hey, dude, we need another person to play golf today. You're like, I'll be there. It's a miracle. All of a sudden, I've garnered the strength and excitement to do something, isn't it? Because someone's speaking about something I like to do. I'll be right there. And I run off. Woo! It's a beautiful day. We're ready to play. Oh, ladies, don't look at me that way. You know you're the same way. You call your husband, please get home. I can't handle these kids no longer. I don't have to. Can you please just help me? I don't have energy to do another thing. I can't do another load of laundry. I can't wash those dishes. I can't bag. I can't do anything. I'm just wiped out. These kids have wiped me out. You better take these kids for God. Take them. I'm going to kill somebody. I don't have strength to do nothing else. And your friend calls you and says, hey, the mall's having a clearance sale today. You're like, oh, hallelujah, I'm feeling so much better. Let me get this done so I can get to the mall and get this done. And you meet them down there at the sale, and you got all this new energy and passion. Why? Because it's something you like to do. And see, if we enjoy what we're doing, we'll find time for it. When we don't enjoy it, we'll make up excuses. I don't have time. I don't have the energy. But when I enjoy it, I will learn to make time for it. You see, the Word of God has got to come alive in your heart. The Word of God has got to come alive. You've got to develop a love for God's Word or you're not going to enjoy it. A simple fact is you will blow it off and you won't make time for it. But to make time for it in God's Word is you got to fall in love with God's Word. You got to learn to love what it has to say to you. You got to learn to say, you know what? I want to pull this wisdom and let it come alive in my heart. I want to garner this wisdom and let it come alive in my heart, in my flesh, in my mind, in my soul. I want to learn to love God's Word. So how do we do that? We got to choose life priorities biblically. We got to choose our priorities biblically. I got to sit down and say, what is my first and most important thing in my life? For me, I got to write down, my personal relationship with God is the most important thing in my life. That is the most important thing in my life. And then my wife and then my children, and then ministry and other things I want to do. These things are the most important things in my life, and I got to list those things in order, in a biblical order, the way that I feel like God is calling me to list them. Now, listen, the world, it tells you, don't tell you that. Your flesh doesn't say that. Your flesh, and you write a list out, says, I want to have a personal worship with God. It's passionate. Your flesh says, no, don't write that. Erase that. That's going to cost you some things, and you don't want to pay that price. And so your flesh says, don't put that number one. I go to write, I want to have my wife, my relationship with my wife as a top priority in my life. No, don't do that. You can't be one of the guys and do this. You can't golf as much as you want to when you do this. And so my flesh will dictate to me a different priority schedule. And so I've got to have a biblical, a godly perspective of prioritizing my life. That, yes, God, the most important thing is I passionately fall in love with you. That's the most important thing, that I keep that passion with, for your word, for who you are, alive in my life. And so it's got to be a top priority. I keep my relationship with God a top priority in my life. And so if I do that, then how do I do that? How do I keep it a top priority? I keep it a top priority by taking something fun that I like to do and mixing it in with the things I know I need to do. And then I will do it. Because if I just put what I need to do up here, if it's not fun, I probably won't do it. If I don't fall in love with what I'm doing, I'm probably not going to do it. It's just going to be there, but I'm not going to put any action to it. And so how do I do that? I got to find the ways to fall in love with what I do. My wife and I, we like to go to movies. We like to go out to eat. As you can tell by looking at me, I like to go eat, man. We like to do things. And so we take the things we love to do and we do it together, because that keeps us doing those things that we know we should do. It keeps us prioritizing our life the way we know we need to do it, because we have fun doing things together. We don't just do things that one person wants to do, but we do things, now sometimes that happens, but most of the time we do things we both like to do, because it keeps us fresh and we're excited about doing it. It keeps a priority in our life. When I exercise, when I'm exercising regularly in my life, you know, I don't like to run. I just tell you, I don't like to run one bit. You know, I just don't like to run. But I do like to watch SportsCenter. Can you imagine? I do like to watch SportsCenter. So if I can get in front of a treadmill that's got SportsCenter on, I can run all day. And so I have to go to a health club or somewhere and have SportsCenter on and have the headphones on, and I can run. All right, this is the next commercial. I'm going to be okay. All right, one more commercial. And pretty soon, I've ran a couple of miles, and I've sweated, and man, I've gotten some exercise in that was needed, but I did it in a way that I enjoyed because I like to watch SportsCenter. You see what I'm saying? So that keeps it alive and fresh in my life. So how do I keep God's word alive in my life? Don't try to read God's word in a time when you can't enjoy it. You got to mix it up. Find a place. If you're a morning person, then man, you get up before anybody else gets up in the morning. You get that fresh brewed cup of coffee smelling. Yeah, get it going. Maybe you have some toast or whatever you have there, a muffin, whatever you like to eat for breakfast. And you set it out and you lay everything out there, man, you're ready. You smell the coffee, the aroma. The house is so quiet because nobody else is up. That time for you, if you're a morning person, you're going to love that. That's the time to get up and be alone with God's word and to read his word, because you mix it with something. Some of you like to get outside and get the outdoors. Some of you need it. Fresh weather's coming right now, and good weather. Get outside. Go to a park somewhere. Get out there and take God's word with you. Instead of going out to lunch with somebody, go to a park somewhere and just take your lunch and say, I'm just going to read God's word today at lunch and enjoy the outdoors, because I like being outside. So I'm outside, and I'm mixing something I do with the word of God. Find something you like to do. Some of you are night people. You like to stay up late. If that's you, when everybody else is in bed, it's quiet in the house, crack open that Bible, man. And just enjoy the peacefulness of the night. Enjoy the quietness of the night. And spend your time with God, his word. Find the time that you like. There's no wrong way. There's no right way. It's finding when you can do it and finding the time in your life and mixing it together. Enjoying what you're doing together. And let the word of God come alive in your heart. Let the word of God come alive in your heart to who you are. Because you got to learn to enjoy it. You got to mix it in. I like what we see here in Luke 10, 41 and 42. We see where Jesus was coming to Martha's house, and as Martha and Mary were getting ready to entertain Jesus and those who were following him. We see this here where Martha is so upset because Mary stopped helping clean and cook and prepare the food and straighten up the house. And when Jesus was there teaching, she went and sat at his feet. And Martha was so upset. Look what Jesus said. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen to do the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So many things are necessary. Listen, but she's chosen to do the right thing. Listen, your life is full of necessary things. My life, your life, and our schedules, they don't slow down. They get busier and busier. We all know that. Man, they just seem to get busier and busier. They're full of necessary things. But listen, make sure you choose every day to do the right thing, the most necessary thing. Jesus said that Mary had chosen to do what was most important, what was most necessary. That was taking time to sit at Jesus' feet. That was the most important thing at that time. And every day you need time to sit at Jesus' feet. Every day you need a time just to say, "God, I just want to sit in your presence. I want to read your word, and I want your word to come alive in my heart. I want your word to jump out of the pages and come alive in my spirit." Every day, because all these other things are necessary. My work, my relationships, my responsibilities, my obligations, these things are all necessary. But this is most necessary in my life. Choosing to do what's right. And the last part, we see how we do this. Living without regrets requires a daily time at his feet. Living without regrets requires a daily time at his feet. Spiritual maturity comes in layers. Do you realize that? Spiritual maturity comes in layers, that there's layers that comes, that we just don't get spiritual maturity in one setting. That you can't walk up and just, it's almost like you're varnishing a table. You don't walk up to varnish a table and pour all the varnish you got on the table and say, "All right, it's done." No, you got to put on one layer at a time and let that dry and sand it out a little bit and do it again. Let that dry and sand it out a little bit and do it again. It takes layers, and through layers at a time, finally, at some point, you get enough layers that you look to it and it has a depth to it. It has a depth and a richness that looks to the top of that table because you have taken time to do it in layers. That's the way our spiritual maturity comes. It doesn't come in a one-time thing. You're not spiritually mature through a one-time setting. So don't think, "All right, I'm going to get mature today, and I'm going to sit down, I'm going to read the whole Bible, man, in 1 week." That's not going to happen, okay? You're not going to get mature in one day. It's a process of layers, and I'm taking this lesson, and I'm putting it in my heart, and I go to another book of the Bible, and I'm reading that, and I'm taking another lesson, and I'm putting it in another layer, and I go to another book, and I take another lesson, and I put it in my heart, and I'm laying down layers, and pretty soon, you are maturing. Pretty soon, you are gaining steps of maturity in your spiritual walk. It's because you are gaining the love for the lessons of God's Word. And it comes in layers. It comes in stages in our life. And it comes through the daily time of spending time with God. The most classic example of this is probably someone who plays classical piano. If you've ever seen anybody play classical piano, you know, man, that they can move those fingers, man. They can bend their fingers in a way that you and I could only dream about, you know? You see someone play, you're like, it's like they're trying to give the sign for the Crips and the Blood. I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing something like this here, you know? You're twisting their fingers all around, and you're like, you know, I can't move my fingers that way. I couldn't do anything like that. And how's that come? Every day, a classical pianist, every day, matter of fact, there was one classical pianist that I read about that he talked about doing scales, that he did major scales and minor scales. Every day, you know, and a classical piano trained piano player will play those scales every day. They'll play it, you know, da 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 da. You know, doing the whole thing up and down, playing all those scales up and down, and they do that for 3 hours. A classical piano player will do that 3 hours a day. doing nothing but playing those major and minor scales, the scales that you and I had never even heard of. They're playing these scales, man, back and forth and going up and down the board, twisting those fingers different ways. And they do that 3 hours a day to keep their fingers limber and loose so they can actually sit down and play what's given before them. Do you think they sit down and they open up a sheet, a Bach, and look at it and go, oh, there's a lot of dots there. And they're really close together. Some of those are really close together. I think I'll play that. They can't do it because it's a very difficult piece to play. It's a classical trained professional piece. And to get there, you got to do those scales every day. I mean, 3 hours a day, up and down, playing those scales. There was a classical piano player. I read this quote. I think it's really good. Paderewski was a classical piano player, and he was talking about his training. And he says, man, I got to train 3 hours a day doing my scales. He says, if I miss one day of training, of doing my scales, he goes, and I perform in public, he goes, I can tell. I can tell a difference from missing one day of doing scales. If I miss 2 days, he goes, my coach, he can tell that I've missed doing my scales. But if I miss 3 days of doing my scales, he says the world knows that I've missed doing my scales because they can tell a difference in my piano playing. The scales for the musician, it's the same thing of reading God's word daily in our life as a Christian. The man, when I'm reading that word daily, it becomes alive, and I'm getting myself ready. So when life opens up a lesson to me, I can say, no, 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 no. Hey, this ain't nothing. I can do this. I can do this. I can handle this problem. Okay, I've got the wisdom ready to handle this problem because I've been doing my scales every day. But when I skip doing my scales and God's life opens up a problem, we're like, whoa, I can't do this. I can't handle this. I can't accomplish this. God, you want me to do what? Ooh, that's too big. God, I can't do that. God, you want me to change what? Ooh, I can't do that. I got to go through what? I can't make it. I can't make it. I'll never be able to handle this. My nerves will never take this. And we have all these excuses because we haven't done our scales. But as a Christian, when we learn to do our scales every day, when we learn to take wisdom from God's word every day, whatever unfolds before us, we can say, okay, God, I can handle this because your word has come alive in my heart and I've got the wisdom to walk through this. I've got the faith to walk through this. I'm not telling you got to read your Bible 3 hours a day. I'm talking about spending some quality time in God's word every day, allowing it to come alive in your life. So how do you do that? Let me give you some very practical things. This is how you spend time in God's word every day. Number one, 5 things to bring when you're doing devotions. First of all, bring your Bible. Can you believe that? That's a good one. The Bible. How many know the B-I-B-L-E? That's the book for me. I stand upon the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible. We learned that song as a kid, if you're in kids' class. But it's so true. Listen to me. There's a lot of good devotion books out there. There's a lot of good Christian authors who are writing good Christian devotion books. And I'm not against any of those, okay? Please don't get me wrong. But there's nothing that substitutes the word of God. There's nothing that should substitute. Well, Pastor, I read so-and-so's book for my daily devotion. That's all right to read that. Read that above your devotion. Read that at another time. But your daily devotion should come from God's word. Allow his word to come alive in your life. The Bible. Second thing you want to bring is what? A pen. Isn't this real good? Yes, it's still deep. Some of you guys are getting this. This is really deep. A pen. Who would ever think about bringing a pen when you read the Bible? Why do I bring a pen for? So I can mark in my Bible. Some of you are thinking right now, but Pastor, you can't mark in your Bible. It's holy. It belongs sitting there on my coffee table, collecting dust, opened up, unmarked, because it's holy. If the devil tries to get in my house, I take out the Bible and I go, booga, 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 get away, because it's holy. Now, please don't be offended by what I'm going to say. Hear the context of what I'm saying. This in itself is not holy. It's the words that are written. When they come alive in my heart, then they become holy. You hear what I'm saying to you? I can write in my Bible. I can write when I'm reading the scripture and God shows me something, I can highlight it. Because when I highlight, I'm saying, God, oh yeah, that's good. That's for me today. I'm going to underline this. I'm going to highlight this because I'm coming to agreement. I'm saying that I'm coming to agreement. How many of you, when you get a card for your spouse, do you take it and underline it? Don't you? I want them to know I really mean this. I like that. I'm going to like twice right there. So you know I really was thinking that. Same thing, God's word. I'm coming to agreement with God's word. I'm underlining it. Maybe you want to write a side note if you had enough room. God spoke this to me today. Date it. God, this is for me. This is God's promise for my marriage today. This is God's promise for my life today. This is God's promise for my finances today. This is God's promise for my health today. And I'm underlining it, and I'm circling it, and I'm making side notes. So when I go back and I study, I remember what God spoke to me. I remember what he's saying to me. We got to have a pen so you can write it down. What's some other things you do? I know this is really deep. Bible and a pen. But also, you want to bring a reading plan. If you don't have a reading plan, you need a reading plan. You can go online at BibleYear.com, and you can get any kind of reading plan you want to get. You can pick if you want to read the New Testament and Old Testament together, which I do recommend, obviously. Or you can say, I just want to read the New Testament, or I want to read this kind of version. I want the old version. I want the new version. You got 20 different kind of versions you can pick from. You got different kind of reading plans. You can pick the day you want to start, and it can give you a reading plan for a year to help you read through the Bible in a year. Get a reading plan, okay? Because if you don't get a reading plan, what's going to happen? You don't get a reading plan, you're going to read Psalms and Proverbs, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Psalms and Proverbs, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Some of the loneliest people in the Bible are some of the major and minor prophets in the Bible. Habakkuk and Obadiah, Jonah, Zechariah, and Zephaniah are like, well, anybody come to our house, please? Anybody come and read our chapter? We got a lot to say. We got some wisdom for you. Please, anybody. You open the book and like, yay, somebody opened up our book. Word of God's full of wisdom, man. He wants people to come and read about him. So get a year reading plan. You can get online and you can print one out that fits you exactly how you would like to get a reading plan. BibleYear.com. You can find lots of reading plans there. You got to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you're not going to do it, okay? So get a plan. Set a goal. I want to read through the New Testament. I want to read through the whole Bible. Read it out, okay? Mark it out. The fourth thing is you want to bring a journal with you, okay? Bring a journal. Get a notepad, okay? If you want to get a diary or a notepad or buy a real journal, this will make a difference. But get a little notebook that you can bring with you so that when you read it, you can take notes. Today, God spoke to me this. Just thinking, what did God speak to me? Today, God spoke to me through his word that I can do this, that he wants me to change this, and he's asking me to do this. He's giving me strength to do this, and I'm writing that out. At the bottom of my page, I'm writing out my prayer. God, help me to apply these things to my life. God, help me, God, to hold my tongue more. God, help me, God, to learn to trust you more in this area of my life. Write that prayer out, okay? Learn to journal your thoughts. Learn to write them down. Read them and write down your thoughts. Why is it important you take notes? How many teachers do we have here in the church this morning? Any teachers, raise your hand. If you're a teacher, raise your hand. If you've taught, can you tell me, who's going to make the best test scores are those who do what? Those who study and those who do what? Take notes. Now, I know there's always that one person in your school that's a freak. They don't have to take notes because they can remember everything. They don't need to take notes. But we're not like that, okay? 99.9% of us, we're not like that. We must take notes. And if you want to do it in school, you got to take notes. Why? So I can go back and I can study for the test. Those who take notes, right, TJ? Those who take notes, they're good on their exam, right? That's right. So we know that those who take notes, I can study and I can pass my test. How many of us this week are going to have a test in our life that we need to pass? How many this month are going to have a test in our life we need to pass? I need to take notes. So that when my life has tests that I face, that I can pass my test because I'm taking notes on what God's telling me. I'm taking notes on the wisdom that I'm learning in the books of the Bible. It's coming alive to my life. And the last thing you want to get is get a planner. I'll tell you, this is such a practical thing, but I know, but it's such an important thing when it comes to reading God's Word. What's a planner have to do, Pastor, with taking notes or reading God's Word? How many know that when you sit down to read God's Word, what happens? Is your mind filled with everything? Maybe I'm the only one that does this, but I'll sit down and begin to think about, I want to read God's Word. What am I thinking in my mind? Don't forget to call so-and-so today. All right. Don't forget to call Jeremiah and ask him, what he wants to order for next material for the children's ministry? Okay. I got that in my mind. All right. Oh, don't forget to pay Empire today because it's coming due. If you don't get paid today, you're going to pay a late charge, so you got to get that down. All right, pay Empire, order the material for children's ministry. Okay, I got that down. God, what's your word saying today? Oh, and don't forget, your wife said to bring home milk. Bring home milk when I come home. To bring home milk. We're out of milk this morning. So milk, children's material, pay the bill. Milk, children's material, pay the bill. I got that down. Okay, God, what's your word saying? And the whole time, my mind's competing with what I got to do. And so I guarantee you, your mind's going to flood with everything you got to do when you're still. So if you have a planner and you've got your pen, I'll write out, bring milk home. Oh, don't forget to call so-and-so. Oh, don't forget to stop by and pay this bill on the way home. And I leave it there so when I get into God's Word, I can open up my mind to receive what He has for me. Because if I don't, my mind's going to cloud with everything else. So bring a pen, bring a planner, and just write it out. Things I got to do when it comes to your mind so you can keep your mind and your heart open to receiving what God has for you today. We're going to close today. As we close, I want to tell you the story. Today, if we had someone who was here and they wanted to take lessons down at the community college, just say you were just an average musician. You say, well, I'm going to go down here to this community college, and I'm going to take some lessons on how to be a better guitar player. And they have once a week night class that meets, and they're in there. And after class, who happens to be taught by a very good master teacher, the teacher says, hey, I would like to spend some time with you. Every day, I'll spend an hour with you every day teaching you personally what I know. And after 1 year, you spend an hour with that master teacher every day, and you've gone from an average musician to a great musician. And when people hear you play, they're like, wow, wow, what's going on? What's going on? And you're going to say, hey, I've been taking a class down here at the community college once night a week. And they're going to say, no, you didn't learn that. Community college. You didn't learn that. You didn't jump that much in wisdom how to play that thing just by attending one class a week. You play as one skilled as a master teacher. And you're going to reflect the skills taught to you by the master teacher. And see, that's what happens when you learn to sit at the master's feet every day. When you allow the master teacher to unfold the word of God in your life, people are going to look at you and they're going to say, where'd you come up with that answer? How'd you get that wisdom? Where did that knowledge come from? Where did that come from? You're going to say, well, I attend Destiny Church. Man, we got a great pastor. And he's such a good pastor, good teacher. They're going to say, I've heard of that guy. You didn't learn all that from him. No, you talk as one who's getting personal revelation for yourself. No, you're spending time with the master every day. God longs for us to be taught by the master teacher. I'm going to play this song on the CD, and we're going to close out in prayer. And I want you just to bow your heads where you're at this morning. As we play this song, I want you to listen to the words. I want you to make a personal prayer in your heart of this, saying, God, today, I want you to place a love in my heart for your word. God, today, I want you to place a love in my heart for the word of God. As we play the song, I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and listen to this. Make it the prayer of your heart.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard. what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice.
Stand, please, this morning. If you stand, please. I pray today in my heart that there would be a fresh love for God's word that would come alive in your heart. I'm not talking about spending hours and hours every day. I'm talking about just prioritizing your life to spend some time. And if you could just spend 10 minutes, just 10 minutes, just reading God's word, praying that thing comes alive in your heart, would change your life. 10 minutes to sit down and take some wisdom and say, I'm going to take this wisdom. I'm going to take this life lesson. I'm going to take this knowledge. I'm going to place it in my heart to be used. To be used. Father, I pray today for every person here. I pray that, Lord, in our heart, Lord, that we would have a love for you that would grow passionate. God, our love for you. Lord, in order to love you, we got to know who you are. We got to know your plan for our life. We got to know so much about you, Lord, and your word is so full of stories of who you are, your attributes, your character, your love for us, your instruction for us, your plan for us. And God, I pray today that, God, your word will come alive in our hearts, that, God, as Christians today, that we would learn to love your word because it's your word. We'll learn to love it, God. We'll learn to crave it. We'll learn to want to spend time daily at your feet, garnering wisdom, gaining wisdom. Father, today I pray that the word of God may come alive in our hearts and may it change us forever. We thank you today, Father. And we bless your name together. We say amen. Amen. God bless you today. Shake some hands before you leave. You guys have a great week.